Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci here on, as my man likes to say, a football Monday out in Berea. The Browns getting ready to practice today at 4 p.m. It is preseason week two, a matchup with the Lions, which typically have a very generous pass defense. So I'd like to think the good times will keep on rolling here for the Browns this Thursday at First Energy Stadium when the Lions come to town. At this time, we are going to check in with the third member of our team, the one and only Gerard Cherry on the line. Gerard, what's up, brother?
Hey, what's going on, Nate?
Not too much. Now, Gerard, one of the things you talked about last Friday here in studio on CBD was that the players, and Brandon Weeden especially, might start carrying himself differently after that game. And I got to tell you, and you saw it Friday, yesterday I was very impressed out there on the field, and we talked about it a little earlier, just by his overall demeanor. I feel like he is a much more comfortable, confident guy. His reads quicker, but not only has his development as a quarterback been obvious, that as a leader yesterday, talking to Josh Gordon after a big drop, just the way he carries himself, standing taller, and those little things I think speak volumes.
Oh, they always speak volumes. Little things definitely mean a lot, especially in the world of football. And when you win and you play well and you contribute to that win and you happen to be the quarterback, trust me, your chest will start sticking out more and you will take more of a ownership role with this team and express yourself, because you can go with guys with confidence knowing that they can't say, what the heck are you telling me? You haven't done anything. So trust me when I tell you, Brandon Weeden playing in a good way, I won't say a dramatic fashion because that was dramatic about the game, but just having a good game helps his confidence, as well as guys trusting him and taking his word as meaning something.
Gerard, we had T.J. Ward in here a short while ago and talked with him about the free safety position and how much he can do entering his fourth year at strong safety for the Browns to help along the younger guys who are competing there. How much can, really, he do for another player at that position? I mean, can it be significant in the ways of guidance, or is it just the things that veterans do with other players, just give them little reminders here and there? How far can a player go in that role?
Well, the key is, when you bring a young guy in the secondary, if the veterans make him feel comfortable that they trust him, and obviously you got to do your part as a young player to make the veterans trust you, that'll go a lot of ways just to instill in them confidence, because it all goes back to confidence. When you have that, you can do special things and you can look competent and play beyond that to excellent. So if T.J. Ward can instill confidence in there and just share insights, and he's playing well, he can help in that regard. But first and foremost, obviously, he has to get his job down. And I'm liking him to be the Troy Polamalu of this defense. So if he's out there balling, that alone will take off some pressure on the safety. But at the same time, too, they're going to avoid T.J. Ward and probably attack that safety. So it's a double-edged sword. But definitely, if the veterans can just tell the guys and make him feel that he's safe in the sense of, we trust you and we got your back and we're going to share our inside knowledge with you, that can go a long way, Vic.
We talked about the coaches taking on a more vocal, more demanding role, and I saw that yesterday in practice. And, you know, we had our big discussion on Friday where you and I were bringing some positivity, and Vic was trying to Debbie Downer on us a little bit.
No, bringing reality.
From the perspective of reality and realism and all that.
Calming down the cheerleaders.
My takeaway is that the coaches were feeling a little bit positive and now feel that they can start being more demanding of the players to go from, as we talked about, competent to excellence. How, as a player, do you respond to that? Because I think it was a marked difference yesterday that they were a little more vocal, a little more demanding, wanting more precision and everything. Does that make you feel good as a player, knowing that the coaches are now comfortable enough with where you're at to start being more demanding?
Oh, yeah, because, again, you show these guys what you're talking about actually works, and you have some semblance of success. Though at minimal in a preseason game, and that was for Vic. At the same time, you have to do something, prove something, and these coaches are going about it the right way and actually earning these guys trust and respect, and not just demand it because I'm a head coach where I've been in the league for this amount of years, which they could totally do because their job calls for them to do that, but they're not going about it that way, which is so encouraging. They're actually doing a great psychological job with this team and earning these guys trust and their respect. And that thing that took place with Rob Chizinski and the kicking of the field goal, you think that's nothing? But the big scheme of things, T.J. Ward even touched the point. That makes guys like you more. And trust me, when you like a guy, you will play harder for him, and especially if you respect him. Because it's one thing to go out there and just earn a check, but another thing to go out there when you're involved in the football team, you own it as your own, and you also like playing for that coach. That makes a world of difference. So, yeah, I'm not surprised that the coaches ratcheted up, because they're in a position now to where guys believe and trust him just for one win that they can do it.
Gerard Cherry joining us as he regularly does here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. You just went to the place where I was going to go next with you, and that was that post-practice. It was all set up, as you know. I mean, Chud wanted to give these guys the night off, but had some Brown staffers recruit the two best kickers from the crowd early on before practice, had them practice, make sure they could get it through the uprights. So this was really orchestrated, but in a way, toward everything you're saying, with the idea of giving these guys the night off. All right, now tell me as a former player, Gerard, how much it means to have this happen, because I'm sure you've had instances. I mean, all the camps I've been around in many years of covering this game, there are those occasions where surprisingly, you know, the coach will do the surprise thing. Okay, guys, you've worked hard all day. You get tonight off from meetings, and it's a welcome thing. How much? Give me a sense of what that means to a player.
Vic, it's like being in the desert, and all of a sudden you've been there a couple of days, and all of a sudden you come up on this oasis, and the water's not bitter, it tastes great. It's just so much for your psyche just to get that sense of freedom, because you are in camp mode, and you're saying to yourself, when is this thing going to end? Now, granted, you know, I'm hard-pressed to call this what they go through a camp, but even still, when you're surrounded by so many guys, you need a break. And when you get that and the coach goes about it in a creative way, you appreciate that. Because, again, it shows that you see me beyond just being a football player for you. You see me as a person who has other things going on in their life, even though right now football is the most important thing. So those type of things where you can reach a player beyond the element of just playing football for them, it makes all the difference in the world. And if Rob keeps going on this trajectory, Vic, I'm telling you, man, you got something that you can build upon here when a coach gets it.
And I think he does get it. I think that, you know, we talked about how well-run everything was in the first preseason game. You see it at practice. The players, T.J. Ward was in here saying that he finds the schedule, while demanding to be extremely player-friendly so that they can be prepared and feel fresh and rested when they want to get in there. And how important is that you have players? Now, and how fine is the line between being too player-friendly and just being player-friendly?
Yeah, there is a line, because on one hand, you don't want to let the inmates run the prison, and at the same time, you also want to keep a balance where, okay, guys, we got work to get done, and we got to push ourselves. We got to take it the next step further if we want to get somewhere. So, yeah, there is a balance, but we got to remember that this is this first go-around for the staff and these guys, and you're building a relationship. You're building bonds, and part of that is building trust. Part of that is building a sense of belief that, hey, you do have my best interest at heart, and that this is more than just playing football, because when you have that sense of, I enjoy being here, I appreciate being here, and these guys are great to play for, and I respect them, then you can start having that culture of where guys actually are, hey, I'm just here to get through the season and call it a day. That mentality goes out the building, and guys embrace it and look forward to getting to work. Because when you have things like that going on, the peanut butter eating contest, and the field goal kicking thing, it may sound trivial and silly to the listeners, but football players love that type of stuff because it's a break from the norm. And I've seen Vic guys, and Vic, you probably seen this too. We get paid a lot of money to play this game, but I've seen guys get more excited about the little lotteries that take place on a plane trip than they do the actual game checks. Yes. So when I tell you the football players get touched by little things like this, they do.
They do. And I've talked to any number of like agents who set up little for players before they go into training camp, little packets of stuff to, you know, with a razor, electric shaver, and different products or watches that they can get from somebody, you know, companies that want to give players some gifts, basically, and give them things that represent their endorsement or whatever, even if it's not formal. The littlest things that don't amount to much financially is a big deal, though, for these guys, right?
Huge deal, man. And it carries so much weight and it goes so far. So, a lot of ways, Rob is building the right type of relationships with his players, and this is how you do it, man. Show these guys, hey, I'm not going to break you down and break you up so that you can't go out there and perform for me. But ultimately, too, it goes back to what Nathan was suggesting, and that is there has to be a fine line. It can't be too much fun, and it can't be too much jovialness. You have to get back down to business, and as long as guys can respect that approach, you can go there with them. Now, Belichick, he's known for being a hard-nosed type of a guy, but he even would do stuff like that. All right, Matt Light, come kick a field goal. And if he kicks a field goal, we have a night off. And we celebrated that.
He had to catch a punt one time, right? They had one of the offensive linemen catch a punt.
So those things, man, it's nice coaching techniques. to use just to build those bonds with your players, because ultimately that's what it has to be. And that's what training camp and preseason is all about, building those bonds so you can be a better football team.
Wanted to go more now back into a football direction with you real quickly here. Watching practice yesterday, Desmond Bryant and Ataba Rubin were absolute nightmares up front getting to the quarterback. I think they each would have had a couple sacks and 11-on-11 drills yesterday. And talk about, you know, all the talks about the outside linebackers for the pass rush, but if these DNs in a 3-4, which aren't typically great pass rushing positions, can win their battles, and Rubin was singled out by the coaches a couple times yesterday saying, you play with that technique, you'll play in our nickel packages, you'll get to the quarterback whenever you want. How important and how devastating and disruptive could it be for offenses if these DNs continue to play at that kind of a level?
Well, it's going to be insane, because once then when you do that, next thing you know, you're dedicating running backs and even tight ends and sometimes tackles. Okay, guys, we need help inside, because granted, most pressure comes from outside, but if you're beating people in the interior of the offensive line, what can a quarterback do if he can't get the exchange to the running back or go through his progressions of a fake? So, yeah, if Desmond Bryant and Ataba Rubin are playing to that level and they can sustain it, it's going to be a lights-out defense, because that's what you want. You want to dominate the line of scrimmage. That's where it all starts. That's the foundation of football, winning in the trenches. I know it's cliche and we say it all the time, but it's the absolute truth. You have to win in the where it all takes place. And if these guys can take their game up and be that pleasant surprise and allow Mingo and Kruger as well as Shear to just tee off on guys and get singled up situations, it all works together. That's a form of complementary defense and complementary football. So I'm loving what I'm hearing. Now, obviously, we need to see it on Thursday.
We're loving having you with us, Gerard, and we'll do it again tomorrow, bud.
Sounds like a plan, my man. Take care, Vic and Nathan.
All right. He is Gerard Cherry, and he joins us right here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We have got so much more coming up for you on ESPN 850 WKNR.